Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, hit number one on the U.S. record charts at the end of 1972 because hundreds of women demanded to hear it on the radio. So it was played very often. I was 11. I couldn't care less. Besides, I wasn't a woman. I was a girl. I didn't care about any of the things that the song talked about. That is, when I heard it on the radio. But then I heard it on my mom's stereo. And I watched her and her best friend, Marie, sing along, looking at each other like they knew something. And I understood that at least for these two women, two of the most important women in my young life, it did mean something. I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, and numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. Let's go straight from there to the scripture, because there is a woman who roared that I want to tell you about. Today I invite you to come to Tyre and Sidon, and in Jesus' day, two great ports on the Mediterranean Sea. We're somewhere between the two, just on the outskirts of one or the other, a place that is uninhabited. It is inhabited, but it's not a teeming port. This place where we're walking now is a place where it's impossible to improve on the climate. The air might reach 90 degrees on the hottest day, but it always flirts with 70 in the evenings. It's a place where Jesus probably thought maybe, just maybe, there might be some rest for him. A place and a time when certainly the disciples thought there would be rest. Mediterranean oasis. But then this woman calling out, crying really, something like a wounded animal, one gospel writer hinted, like a roar of pain. And have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. This is what the scripture says. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." I Am Woman, watch me grow with such a long, long way to go until I make my brother understand. And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I am strong. I am invincible. I am woman." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed in that moment. Here we go again, the disciples must have thought. Here we go again, Jesus must have thought, because he didn't even pause when she first called out. He just kept walking. And then the disciples tapped each other on their shoulders. They were elbowing each other in the ribs. They were proud of Jesus because he was ignoring this woman. Maybe he was going to take care of himself for once. And they're so excited that they encourage him, "Send her away, send her away." But then Jesus is talking, and we don't know for sure whom he's talking to. We don't know if he goes beyond indifference to this woman and makes it all the way to rudeness with her. But he tells her, "Look, I am here only for the Jews." Looks at his disciples maybe and says, "Yeah, you're right. I wasn't sent for one like her." And the woman knows what's happening here. It happens to her all the time. She gets the picture. She's a woman, property. So she stretches her steps just a little because she's not going to let it stop her this time. She gets ahead of Jesus. She drops to her knees in front of him. He can't go over or around her. He either has to stop or to stumble. He stops and she begs, "Lord, help me." And he speaks to her down there on her knees. "I won't throw the children's food to the dogs. I won't give this that I have to the worthless." And then she must have reached up, I think, and grabbed him by the arm or grabbed his hand anyway to keep him there with her now that she had him. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And in that moment, it is possible that the world stopped momentarily, metaphorically, and then began to spin in the opposite direction. And that reversal caused great collision and chaos, and grace and mercy spilled out everywhere upon the women, upon the men, upon the Jews and the Gentiles, upon the just and the unjust. This changed the course of history, changed the course of Jesus's ministry. Many theologians consider that truly that is what happened. The collision of one woman's need with the Messiah's mission and her need for her daughter's healing won out, and it changed the mission. Oh, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. I'm not going to spend a lot of time today trying to share a long list of the ways that women's rights have dragged behind men's. I'm not going to spend time talking about the misogyny that is still so prevalent in our society. The misogyny that is not eliminated by the fact that we have a second woman running for president of the United States. I'm not going to argue about whether trans women are women. They are. I'm not going to focus on bodily autonomy, though that is certainly a huge issue right now. And I'm not going to spend time on all this because you should know all this. If you are paying attention, you should know all this. What I want you to see this morning, and the reason that I started with Scripture, is that it is and has always been so hard to be a woman. So hard that many of us give up. Give up all at once, give up slowly, give up, try again. Actually, it might be impossible to be a woman.
It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary. But somehow we're always doing it wrong. Like, you have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women, because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood, but always stand out and always be grateful. But never forget that the system is rigged, so find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You have to never get old. Never be rude. Never show off. Never be selfish. Never fall down. Never fail. Never show fear. Never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory. And nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us. And if all of that is also true for a doll, just representing a woman, then I don't even know.
And if all of that is also true for a doll just representing a woman, then I don't even know. That scene from a 2022 movie and the scene we started with from 2,000 years ago makes me wonder if much has changed. There have been glimmers of change. In the year that Gloria Steinem's Ms. Magazine was launched, the song I Am Woman captured the imagination of the burgeoning woman's movement. National Organization for Women founder Betty Friedan was later to write that in 1973, at a gala entertainment night in Washington, D.C., they closed the convention by playing I Am Woman. And suddenly, she said, women got out of their seats and started dancing around the hotel ballroom and joining hands in a circle that got larger and larger until 1,000 women were dancing and singing, I am strong, I am invincible, I am woman. And she said it was a spontaneous, beautiful expression of the exhilaration we all felt in those years, women really moving together as women. I am woman, watch me grow. See me standing toe to toe as I spread my loving arms across the land. You know, all of this might be changing faster if those particular lyrics told the story. If women were united, standing together, spreading our loving arms across the land. But we haven't gotten that right either. When I Am Woman came out, and my mother and her best friend sang it into their hairbrushes and looked at each other like they knew something, they were two women who could not have been more different. One tall with teased hair and polished nails, working two and three jobs to make all the ends meet, and one shorter with short wash-and-go hair, or maybe don't wash it hair, and men's shirts and sweatshirts, cussing like I was going to say sailor, but then you would think like a man, even though you shouldn't think like a man, because women are in the Navy, but cussing like a woman in labor. And they loved each other. And they saw each other through everything, and they cheered for each other if we could only get to that point. But no, think back to that Jesus story I started with. I guarantee you that every person that protested was not a man. I guarantee you some women were thinking, who does she think she is? Back in 1972, there were feminists who boycotted I Am Woman. Among other things, they took exception to the lyrics, I'm still an embryo with a long, long way to go, because they said it identified the women's liberation movement with pregnancy. We can do better than that. Noelle Mehring, author of Awake Not Woke, believes that feminism is one of the most insidious tendrils of woke ideology. This series is based on her book. She says that women who are feminist who do not place themselves under the authority of their husbands are part of the problem. Women who are overtly sexual are part of the problem. Women who have abortions. Women who challenge the patriarchy of the Catholic Church. Women who wear men's clothes. And here's what I have to say about that. You are entitled to your opinion. And I promise you that even though it's really hard for me, I am not going to assume that you've been brainwashed. I'm not going to talk about how you've given in to the crush of misogyny. It's going to be hard, but being a woman partly means giving each other a break. So, Noelle Maring, I acknowledge your humanity. And I trust the sincerity of your motives and your decision making. And as hard as it is, I'm not going to jump to the assumption that your positions are uninformed or ill-considered or motivated by personal bias. I am a bigger person than that. I am a woman. And you are a woman. And I want to finish with one story from Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Eat, Pray, Love. Early in her story, Elizabeth is suffering through a long, wrenching divorce, and she tells her friend, Iva, that she wishes she could petition God, asking God to end the pain. And when Iva asks, well, why don't you pray exactly that prayer? Elizabeth confesses that petitioning God for specific things seems like weakness, and she doesn't feel worthy of God's attention anyway. Instead of asking for the pain of her divorce to end, she thinks she can only ask God for strength to endure the pain and learn from it. And Iva refuses that view and calls her friend on it. Where did you get the idea that you aren't allowed to petition the universe with prayer? You are part of this universe, Liz. You're a constituent. You have every entitlement to participate in the actions of the universe and to let your feelings be known. Make your case, Liz. Believe me, it will at least be taken into consideration. And in those words, Iva gives voice once again, 2,000 years later, to the Canaanite woman who didn't simply follow Jesus, but pursued him and made her claim upon him. That Canaanite woman was a non-Jew, an outsider, not considered worthy of the saving grace and mercy of the Messiah. But she dared to demand his attention, dared to deliver her petition, and dared to receive the anointing of his attention and the power of his healing. I cannot fix everything for the women, and not a lot, not enough has changed. But I can remind you of that Canaanite woman, and I can remind you of this story from Elizabeth Gilbert. Jesus is here. Just as certainly as he was there walking between Tyre and Sidon. And we women can still step in front of him and petition the universe. And things might not change here. But what won't it feel like for us to walk through this world knowing that he is beside us? Amen.